Dads, world champs from Boston Sports Original 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
Hour number three of the Rich Keefe Show, Fitzy and Hart, coming at you here on 93.7 FM, WEEI, WEEI.com, and of course, all of our fabulous affiliates. I said fabulous. Sorry, I get a little tongue-tied, not going to lie. All that sun's getting to me. Our fabulous affiliates throughout New England and all over the world. T-minus 15 hours till parade time, Andy. Are you going to be schlepping in for the parade?
No.
No? How about your kids?
No, he's got to work. Nope.
Where does he work?
Baseball camp.
Oh, nice.
Baseball camp, yeah.
My kids are starting baseball camp next week as a... Now, this is not to draw things back to the Cape, which I do oftentimes during the summer. The Cape Cod Baseball right. League actually does a camp. They do it on the field where the YD Red Sox play at Yarmouth Dennis High School. And it's only like $20 a day for a couple, like 3 hours. Drop the kids off. They get a chance to work out and run some drills with some future potential major leaguers who are all paying their way for the summer, cleaning pools and teaching camp. It's a blast.
Anyone else get the feeling Fitzy tries to ditch his kids a lot or whines about his kids a lot?
I don't ditch my kids a lot. I can't spend enough time with them. I am such an active hands-on dad. It's ridiculous.
He's like, $20, you can dump your kids.
That's great. I get 2 hours. I got to run home and do a Six Rings podcast with you in peace, record for Big 103 and whatever the hell else I do. No, I'm fully committed to the whole thing. I'm already designing this fall's curriculum because I'll be ascending from assistant coach to head coach of the flag football program.
Oh, my God. Who's going awesome. To be better, Mayo or Fitzy?
You know what?
Who is less prepared, Mayo or Fitzy?
Who's going to have to walk back more things they say within the first 3 months on the job, Mayo or Fitzy? Wow.
Is there a culture shift for the flag football team as well? Or
it's going to be super fun. They're already actually working on the huge murals of me talking to the kids and making connections with them. So we'll see how that goes. But like I said, you and I often have
I thought your dad was a comedian. How come he's never funny?
See, you have to always do that. You know, hey, you know, oh, Andy Hart's dad, you know, Jackson Hart's dad is coaching us. Boy, he talks football a lot. How come he doesn't know crap?
That's right. Back-to-back Super Bowl champions in the flag football field.
Oh, please, bought and paid for.
Back to back.
Bought and paid for. And then illegal.
Freaking job got in the way. They lost in the final, and I couldn't call plays.
Oh, man. You sure your son's not working at the excuse factory where his dad made a mint?
He had to call plays himself. He was like a 12-year-old calling his own plays. It was a debacle.
Well, if you got wheels like his, he probably hung in there as long as he could. But like I said, oftentimes if the kids are away at camp doing their thing, we run home, we do a little Six Rings pod, we talk some Pats football. Just like one and many out there today, I was surprised to see the Patriots made a little news, Andy. That's right. They promised one of the many things that the Wolf of Ball Street, Elliot Wolf, promised us before he was actually given the title of Executive Vice President of Player Personnel, de facto GM. Of course, it's New England. We always have to do things a little different around here. Before given the title, said he was going to weaponize the offense in the draft, delivered on the promise. 7 out of 8 picks were on the offensive side of the ball. And yes, they were going to do their best to retain the veterans, the core, the players who had earned their second contract here. Dare I say, this feels like 3 off-seasons of Belichick core retention contracts given out. We had Ramondre today, 4 years, $36 million, $17 million guaranteed, joining that bag, 3 for $57 million that Michael Wenu got. David Andrews getting extended by another couple years as well. Duggar got the 4 for $54 million after he was given the transition tag. And the other
Christian Barmore, you
Christian
might have heard
Barmore, 4 for $92 million,
the biggest of them,
the biggest of them all, literally and financially.
Yes.
So
you need
what
to
is your
all these players that earned the number 3 pick in the draft?
So, see, that's the thing, though. The whole entire idea of like, there's a bunch of
keep
bums.
Keep the band
in the
together, baby. They played terrible music.
These guys were awful. This band sucks. Let's just keep them together. See, I disagree. I think so many things went sideways. So many things went wrong for that team last year. Between the coach, obviously, and the quarterback, the dysfunction on the team, just everything surrounding it, it almost made it seem, at least to me, like it was an impossible situation for anyone to barely survive, let alone to thrive in as well. And yes, I understand they had the 30th ranked offense last year, so why wouldn't you want to race to bring back as many of the players from that 30th ranked offense you possibly could? You know, the tables tilted in the wrong favor for them last year. So many different people got injured. The defense still hung in there as well. The offense was just legendarily bad. Do you not think that if you're going to run your team through a certain player this year, at least run the offense through a certain player, Ramondre Stevenson would make the most sense, and paying him that second contract as a running back you trust, a running back you know that has good hands 2 years ago, led the team with 69 receptions.
Yeah.
Isn't he? Yeah, somewhere Gronk smiles. Nice. Don't you think that he's worth at least that $17 million? That's basically paying him up front for two more years of his prime. He's only in his mid-20s. It's not like you're paying a running back who's 28, 29 and could be on the doorstep of tired legs and, you know, treadbare tires. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think this is a win-win deal.
Yeah.
Ramondre previewed it when he said during minicamp, yeah, I think we're close. He said he thought he was going to get the deal done. They obviously got the deal done. He had seen everybody else kind of get theirs, fall in line, and the Packer way of retaining talent that Elliott Wolf has spoken about and now enacted. And there's no question he's the centerpiece of the offense. That's the first thing that Alex Van Pelt said. It's the first thing we've seen in OTAs and minicamps. They throw it to him. They run it with him. And quite honestly, there aren't a lot of other proven options or guys you can lean on, especially at running back. I mean, it's Ramondre and pray for rain at running back. And I know he didn't have a great year last year, started slow and finished hurt, which is not a great season in any sense of the words.
Nope.
But 2 years ago, I thought he was on a trajectory where he was sort of, you remember, I kept calling him poor man Saquon Barkley. You know, 1,000-yard back, 69 catches, made big plays. He needs to get back to that. But no, I think this is a win-win because you need him. He had some leverage. He's the centerpiece of your offense, and he gets some money. He gets paid in this weird running back market world where, yes, it took a little uptick this offseason, but he's not Josh Jacobs. He's not Saquon Barkley. He's not Christian McCaffrey. He's not one of these truly elite running backs, and yet he got some financial security. He already has the job security. So, no, I think this works for everybody. Now he just needs to go out, stay healthy, and do his job.
So it was Stevenson, 4 for 36. Duggar ultimately was 4 for 58, excuse me. Onwenu, 3 for 57. Hunter Henry also in the club this offseason. 3 years, $27 million. And we both thought at the time that sounded like a pretty good deal. And he is definitely going to be either a veteran or rookie quarterback's best friend. Kendrick Bourne coming off of the torn ACL last year in October against the Dolphins. Got extended 3 for $19.5 million. Hopefully he can make it back to the field sooner or later. Sooner than later, rather. And, of course, the big deal for the big man, that would be 4 for $92 for Christian Barmore. Also, let's not forget, Anfernee Jennings, one of the sneaky secret pieces of that highly effective Patriots defense, 3 years, $12 million as well.
Don't forget Uche.
Oh, and Josh Uche, 1 for $3.
He turned down boatloads of money elsewhere to take that deal.
Or so we were told.
No, that's what he said. I'm going to take him at his word.
You are?
No.
Why would you believe him and no one else?
I never believe the players. I think they lie nonstop.
So, yeah, so Uche as well. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 players. Eight veterans. Minimal free agent loss. Who's the only free agent they really lost? Miles Bryant?
No, Ezekiel Elliott, their best offensive player.
their passing leader last year as
they
well.
They lost their best offensive player.
Who's soon probably going to be coached by Bill Belichick. See, I think I'm with you. I think this makes a ton of sense as well. You know, guys like Josh Jacobs, he left the Raiders and went to the Packers. That was 4 for $48 million. So he got 25% more money than Ramondre Stevenson.
Better.
Do you think he's 25% more the back than Ramondre is? Because when Ramondre is healthy, he's a multifaceted, versatile, explosive player.
He's a good player. Josh Jacobs is a
dynamite
foundational player. He led the NFL in rushing. Mm-hmm. Like, he's an all-pro caliber player, whereas at his best, I think Stevenson is a Pro Bowl caliber player. And I like Stevenson, but even a couple of years ago, if you go back and look at the yardage in some of those games, there were stretches where he was really good, and there were stretches that he was really quiet. He can't be that this year. You know, he brought up he's been watching Nick Chubb, going back to Alec Van Pelt in Cleveland, watching Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb's a 14 or a 1,500-yard running back. And
speaking of juggernauts, he runs like
correct.
A juggernaut.
And you need Stevenson to be consistently good. It's a little like Jason Tatum. You know, not all 28 or 30-point games are the same. Not all 1,200-yard seasons. Like, if you have two 200-yard games, but then go quiet for three games where you only give me 35 yards, 35, you know what I mean? Like, no, you're going to need to be consistently good, consistently productive if this team is going to have a chance to maybe overachieve offensively. But again, he looks like he's, I guess he's going with redistributed his weight, same weight, 225, but a little better weight. He's eating better. He looks like he's got a little bounce in his step and is ready to have a good year, but, you know, it's a big jump from mini camp, no pads, no contact, no hitting to, oh, it's the second week of the season and it's a real game and how does he look?
Yeah, Ramondre Stevenson at first was remembered for the fumble in the or the missed blocking assignment in his first game back in 2021. Then he came on and was remembered for supplanting Damian Harris and basically being a star on the rise and a focal point of the offense. Then he became remembered for being part of the single worst play in Patriots, if not NFL history. And then last year, meh. Like, there's really no, there's no signature Ramondre moment from last year. There was no signature Ramondre play. No game you can say, like, that's the Ramondre Stevenson game. He put the New England Patriots on his broad shoulders and carried them across the goal line to victory on this given Sunday.
But to defend him, like,
the offense sucked, period. What was there to defend last
year? In all aspects. The quarterback sucks. We have no passing game. We have no offensive line. Like, well, how am I supposed to do my job when those guys can't block? The defense doesn't think we can pass at all, so they're going to, you know, play the run. Like, I kind of give him and everybody a pass. It was so bad last year that
How bad was it?
Yeah, the sum of the parts was just so hideous that I don't blame any of the parts, except the line.
It was so bad you had to get rid of the greatest coach of all time.
Yeah.
That's
he's
how bad
gone off the rails and he's on Nantucket. I won't say it.
What are you talking about? There once was a man from Nantucket.
Who had a young girl.
Whose girlfriend was so young it caused a ruckus. Yeah, Josh Jacobs. 2022. 1,653 yards rushing.
Yeah,
easy.
Pretty good now.
Damn.
Pretty good.
Yeah, he is. So good so that even they got rid of Aaron Jones for him in his stead, which was amazing. Jones goes over for the one-year, $7 million deal with the Vikings. There's a player I would like to see Ramondre Stevenson emulate. Because Aaron Jones, sneaky fast at times, good between the tackles, a little too injury-riddled. Let's hopefully Ramondre has kicked that out of his system. Like you said, eating better, training better this offseason. Hopefully he's in it for the long haul because they're going to lean on him early. And often, and then in between both of those this season. So let's see how that one works out.
You're not an Antonio Gibson guy, eh?
I love Antonio Gibson, but I don't think he's going to
You love guys who fumble more than they score.
You know, I like, you know what? I like third down backs. I like pass catching backs. I like guys that have a little little extra dynamic in their game out of the backfield. I think it wasn't Gibson a converted wide receiver turn running back?
Yeah. Yeah, no, he is. He's essentially a receiver playing running back. And I'm interested to see how he fits in with Alex Van Pelt and the system and third down. And, you know, you have been lacking that. It's why Elliott and Stevenson had to kind of lead the team in receptions. You didn't have the James White, Kevin Falk et al. Type. I'll be interested to see how that works with this offense. I think that's what he is. I don't think you want to see Ramondre Stevenson get hurt. And now Antonio Gibson is your lead back and he's going to get all the touches. I don't think that's a good game plan to win with.
So I'm curious, were you in the role of Elliott Wolf? Would you have given him this deal or something?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a Stevenson fan. And again, I don't think you overpaid. You didn't go long term. You know, and we need to wait and see the details, too. Sometimes these contracts aren't, you know, it's 4 for 36. Is it? Or is like the last year sort of a fake year? Is
well, it really was reported $17 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I know, but even if it's just a 3-year deal for 20 something million, I'm fine with that, right? I'll pay him like Devon Godshaw is making $8 million a year, $9 million a year.
Now he wants a new deal, or so I'm told.
Well, he can pound sand.
Wow.
And he's a big man, so it's a lot of sand that he'll pound.
He's going to hit that sand hard. Didn't Bill Belichick tell us he's one of the best defensive tackles in football?
The unemployed guy? You're listening to people on the unemployment line
now? Wow, shots fired from the
South
Coast.
The truth is never mean.
So Ramondre has totaled 2,265 rushing yards on 499 carries with only 14 touchdowns. Jeez, you'd think he'd have more. 121
receptions.
He's
not as good as you think he is.
782 yards. Ah, they overpaid him. What the hell? Actually, here's what I'll say. I'll leave with this before we go to break. If it's possible that Alex Van Pelt is able to engineer some sort of Ramondre Stevenson as Nick Chubb and Antonio Gibson as Kareem Hunt type of thing this season with a nice, you know, with a first and second down back, possibly mixing up the passing game every now and again. Gibson gets the carry and Ramondre catches the pass. If he can have the kind of efficiency and productivity those two guys had in their prime a few years back with Mondre and Gibson this year, that'll be fun. That'll take a little pressure off of Jacoby Brissett. That'll take a little pressure off of Drake May whenever he takes over as QB1. I'd like to see it.
And since there's a lot of questions at the wide receiver position, it would be nice to lean on a running back, not only running the ball, but I think you're going to see a lot of screens and dump-offs and some of those.
Oh, yeah. You can say that again, Margie. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. You like the Ramondre deal? Is he your favorite Patriots player? Is he the most popular player on the Patriots? We'll discuss that as well as do one of our famous six rings and football things. Patriots positional previews coming up. All football in the 8 o'clock hour. 9 o'clock Diz Quiz. 9:20 grab bag. But first, let's catch up on everything else trending with the Natty himself, Stanley.
The Greg Hill Show. Weekdays, 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up with what's trending right now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Red Sox on a roll. They beat the Blue Jays last night 7-3 in Toronto, getting the sweep over the Jays in the three-game series. Sox will try and keep the momentum going as they'll head to Cincinnati for a three-game series against the Reds. The first game of that series goes down tomorrow night. First pitch at 7:10 from the Great American Ballpark in Cincy.
No one says that. But if you haven't been there before, you can't just like, the Natty, the home of Skyline Chili.
I went to Reddit. They call it Cincy, the Natty, Nasty Natty, Queen City for some reason.
Yeah, it's, how many Queen Cities do we have, by the way? Baltimore's Charm City. No, it's not. You ever been?
No.
Nope. Definitely not.
Nope. And after watching The Wire, I don't think I want to.
Oh, you're the first guy that watched The Wire.
One of the best TV shows ever. All right, Carter Crawford expected to take the mound for your Boston Red Sox tomorrow night against the Reds. He'll face off against Andrew Abbott. Joe Weil will get you ready for the game starting at 6:10 with the MassMutual pregame show. Don't forget, you can catch both the game and the pregame right here on WEEI or download the Odyssey app and take us wherever you go. Running back Ramondre Stevenson now joined veterans Mike Onwenu, Kyle Duggar, Hunter Henry, and Kendrick Bourne by agreeing to terms to come back to the New England Patriots for the 2024-25 season. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, Stevenson reached an agreement with the team on a four-year extension worth $36 million, which includes $17 million fully guaranteed. In NBA news, the Lakers have agreed to a four-year contract with J.J. Redick to make him the franchise's next head coach. General manager Rob Pelinka offered Redick the job this morning after a meeting over the weekend with the Lakers vice president and owner. And game six of the NHL Stanley Cup between the Oilers and Panthers goes down tomorrow night. Puck drops at 8 p.m. from Rogers Place in Edmonton. The Florida Panthers are currently up 3-2 in that series. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Rich Keefe Show with Fitzy and Andy Hart coming up.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime.
Just download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Say WEEI is a favorite and listen wherever you go.
Now, more of the Rich Keefe Show
on WEEI.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Foo Fighters. Fighters coming up. They playing a big show at Fenway soon?
Yeah. It's crazy. I didn't hear about that until a few weeks ago, but phenomenal show. If you have a chance to see these guys, get out there
Were you there at the one back in 2018?
I was at the one at Boston Calling 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was like the first show after their late drummer Taylor Hawkins had passed. They brought his son out, Shane. It was awesome.
Oh, that must have been phenomenal.
Yeah. And it was crazy.
Was it as lit as a weekend in the Natty?
More lit. The most lit.
So I was there in 2018 back when we were doing the old WAF show.
Yeah.
And that's when Joe Walsh came out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I still have never seen. That may be the single greatest song I've ever heard at a rock show. Joe Walsh did Rocky Mountain High with Dave Grohl on drums and just.
Infamous Fenway shows, I believe Dave broke his leg. Came out in the cast and still finished the show.
Holy macaroni. God, that guy's a legend. One of the only real, like, rock stars left.
Yep.
God, he's awesome.
Well, Eddie Vedder's still out there.
Yeah, it's true. I heard Buddy took his son to his first rock show First rock show for my kid, first big arena show 2 years ago, Thomas, when he was 9, we went to see Imagine Dragons at Fenway, which was great.
Yeah, that was probably a good
phenomenal, perfect first show, like for a 9-year-old who's into all those songs, the anthemic arena rock and stuff. A friend went and took his 13-year-old to see Pearl Jam at the Forum in L.A. a few weeks ago, said it was like Eddie Vedder still has the same fastball he had 25 years ago.
Yeah, I'm dying to go. So if anybody at our station, the higher-ups are listening and can hook a producer up, that would be amazing.
One, they are not. Yeah. And two, absolutely are not. Probably turned the show off earlier. Or they were watching on Twitch until they couldn't see Andy anymore. Maybe Andy got a light on in his freaking basement.
I did turn a light on.
You have one on now, finally? Okay, good.
Fine. Oh, there's me.
Oh, good. There he is.
And yes, oh, look at they are not listening, but they could get you tickets if they wanted to, but they don't, so they won't.
Yeah,
Hart, fair. We need a light for the front of you. You're now backlit. You're almost silhouetted.
Bright.
No, it's not.
It's going to be too bright.
No, you front light.
I don't want
light.
A bright light in my eyes. I got your front light right here.
You don't have to start talking like that. No wonder why the higher-ups aren't.
Have you seen this
right
thing
now
that's making the rounds? Are we in a Patriots hour? Are we trying to put this on the...
we will.
Anything
we'll
goes there.
We'll tell Turf. It's fine.
Are you seeing this video of this girl saying, like, what she would do to a certain male body part that is everywhere all of a sudden?
No, I have heard nothing about it. Do I have Twitter? To guess which color the dress is?
No. I don't know what I can say. I can't say anything.
Well, why did you bring it up if you can't say anything?
Because it's
about
all over
it.
My feed. Everybody's turning it into various memes. It's one of those things that I feel like
you must have a filthy feed.
Yeah, but it's fine. It's cool.
It's fine, guys. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. Continuing with our Patriots Power Hour here, Six Ring Style on the Rich Keefe Show. Each and every week on the podcast, Andy and I do something we call the Patriots Positional Preview.
Very creative.
It's alliterative. It's the PPP. Wasn't that the loan?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, yeah, I thought so.
But it's also Fast PP is the guy that in the Celtics hits half-court shots.
Oh, that's right. By the way, I shared a fun little slow-mo video. I think it was either Celtics Unite or Celtics Junkies put up on Twitter of Peyton Pritchard's shot from like a high-up, almost drone-like angle. Obviously, I know it wasn't. It was just a big TV camera. It was slow-mo, and the entire comment section is people still marveling at the fact that he traveled on the play.
Oh, absolutely. But it's the NBA.
Took about 17 steps. Don't
care.
Who cares? Like, it would have affected the outcome.
Right. It would have affected my joy if they wiped that out.
Gave us a highlight for the ages. Yeah. It drained a 49-footer. So what if he traveled? It was a little travel. Everyone gets away. Yeah, and Brady fumbled. Who cares?
Was the longest shot in the NBA Finals in like 10 years or something. It was cool.
Love it. Love it.
And then Dante Exum, for them, didn't even try it at the end of the first quarter. And
I know, that's this. That's
Myers, Bob Myers, like, shoot the shot. It might actually go in.
Gotta
just
shoot
the ball. Is this your first time on a court? Throw the ball towards the hoop. Every once in a while, it goes in.
Just ask Joel Embiid, who chucked in a 75-footer against the Celtics
once.
Spoiler alert, it didn't count.
But it doesn't matter if it counts. Try.
Right.
Try.
Like the old man used to say, you hit 0% of the home runs you don't take a swing at.
Yeah. And you probably hit 0% of home runs when you did swing.
I did not hit any home runs. It was also very difficult for me to huff and puff my way around the bases as old Chubby.
Fatty McGee.
Chubby
you're
Stevens.
You set off the sprinklers, Fatty Fitzy.
Jackass. How much longer do I have to deal with this? I'd rather be on the parade route right now. Anyway, like I said, Patriots positional previews. Each and every week on the podcast, we work our way around the roster to tell you... exactly what we like about the room, what needs some work in the room, who's the star, who's got a long way to go, and basically just take a look at the depth before we get into training camp this coming summer. So far on the podcast, Andy, I believe we have done defensive line. We have not.
If you say so, I don't know.
We have. We may have done cornerbacks.
I believe we did cornerback, yes.
Okay. Tonight we're going to do wide receivers.
Yeah. Stacked position.
It is a stacked position. Too many studs in the room.
Stacked, jacked, locked, and loaded.
Yes. So the New England Patriots head into the 2024 season with a lot of wide receivers and no definitive number one. Now, they did
Randy
draft...
Randy Moss.
They did
Wes
draft...
Wes Welker. Julian Edelman. Deion Branch.
They did draft two wide receivers this year in the draft as well. And I have heard things about Kayshon Boutte actually turning some heads.
I bet you have.
I have indeed. And I'm sure that'll show right up in your feed, you absolute filthmonger. I have heard good things about Boutte heading into training camp, but Andy, tell me right now, as we always begin this segment, pick an adjective to describe this room.
competitive.
Ooh, wow. I like it.
I actually think it's very competitive. I didn't say it's high-level competition. This is not, you know, the days of, as I said, Moss and Welker and number ones and all pros and future Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually think there is quite a bit of jockeying for jobs and roles mm-hmm. and who's going to be the number one. Is Juju back and healthy? Is DeMario Douglas going to have a breakout slot year? One of the rookies going to be one of these impact rookies that we've lusted after with other teams. Feels like the last two or three years, we're like, hey, how come they can draft a receiver and he comes in and he's good his rookie year and catches balls and helps the offense? I think there's a chance of that. There's a chance of bounce back rebound stories. I think we all like Kendrick Bourne. And mm-hmm. whenever he gets healthy, I think people will be rooting for him. Jalen Reagor has been catching balls and looks a little quicker to me in minicamp action. So a competitive position.
Competitive would be the word to describe this room of 12. This dirty dozen right here includes
12 angry men.
Could very well be. Kendrick Bourne, Kendrick Osborne, also known as KJ Osborne from Minnesota on a one-year deal. Jalen Reagor re-signed. He, of course, of the kickoff return touchdown in the ever-so-forgettable New Year's Day finale in Buffalo. Kwon Baker, who exactly? DeMario Douglas, Pop Douglas, who everybody says can't be covered right now. Hopefully he can stay healthy enough for the breakout season or the double breakout season or the next great season that we all think he's capable of. Juju Smith-Schuster, see ya. Tyquan Thornton, who's doing pull-ups and eating lots of egg whites this offseason. We got David Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
Rookies Jalen Polk, who made a great catch at the end of minicamp last week. Javon Baker, my guy. Kayshawn Boutte. And Jaquay Jackson. Those are your 12 wide receivers currently on the New England Patriots. Two questions for you, Hart. Number one, ultimately, how many wide receivers do you believe will be carried by the New England Patriots this season? And two, who among them will be the leading receiver?
So, how many they carry, it's usually in the 5 to 6 range, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's crossover, like is Jalen Reagor a kick returner? So does that help him get on the roster?
Special teams
team?
Value. Is it as yes. valued as much on the new New England Patriots under Gerard Mayo as it was under Bill Belichick?
I don't think it is. I don't think you're going to see these core special teamers, the Cody Davis, Brandon Bolden types, or as many of them moving forward. You're obviously going to have your Brendan Schooler. But the second question, I like what I see from DeMario Douglas. You mentioned it. If he can stay healthy, I think there's a legitimate opportunity here for DeMario Douglas to catch a significant number of footballs. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know if we'll get back to the true old school Wes Welker days of he would roll out of bed and catch like 115 passes in that slot receiver role with Tom mm-hmm. Brady.
Still somehow underrated to the day.
Yeah, because you people stink.
Hey, I don't fault him for Super Bowl 46. That was a team loss.
I didn't say just you. I said you people.
It's too many people that blame Welker for the Super Bowl 46.
Yeah, you created those people. You're one of
those
people.
Nope. Some of them were just born impossible to please.
But yeah, no, I think he could catch 85 balls if he has a good year and kind of... What? Why are you like
85 balls?
I don't know how high I want to go. See, people won't listen to that, though. I'm saying DeMario Douglas could catch 85 balls, and they'll be like, yeah, you're the guy who said they're going to win zero games. Well, both could happen. He could catch 85 balls, and they could still suck as a team. But, yeah, I like him. Juju, I'm not really buying the I'm 100%. I wasn't 100% last year. I played at 60%. I'm healthy. I'm not really buying into that.
Does he even make the team? I don't think he makes the team.
I'm not sure he makes the team. I'm not sure he's healthy enough to make the team, but then if he's not healthy, I don't know if they can cut him.
I mean, this new regime has shown that they are not to be beholden to any of the players that were signed by the former EVP of PP or head HC of the NEP.
They re-signed a lot of them.
Yes, but they re-signed who they chose, but it doesn't mean they're married to each and every one of them.
No, but they re-signed a lot of them. Anyway, so no, Juju, I think, is fighting for a job. I think Tyquan Thornton is fighting for a job. If you made me pick between one of those two guys, I think I might take Tyquan Thornton
mm-hmm.
Over Juju. But I think KJ Osborne is going to make it.
Lock.
I think DeMario Douglas is going to make it.
That's two.
I mean, the only way he's not on the active roster is if he's injured.
Mm-hmm.
He
had 49 catches last year for 561 yards. No touchdowns, so he's in that sort of... Who was it that didn't catch a touchdown?
Jacoby Myers.
It took him, like, what, 2.5 seasons to
but
finally
also,
catch a touchdown?
The slot guys don't always catch a lot of touchdowns.
True.
You know, there were different eras when Moss and Gronk were kind of poaching those touchdowns. It changed things.
Good point.
But I think both rookies make it unless
that's
they're
four.
Hurt. So that's four receivers right there.
I don't see any Foxborough flu there. Now, how about Kendrick Bourne? Shouldn't he be five if he's healthy enough? Or does he start the season pupped?
I'm feeling like he might start the season pupped, even though he's all jacked up and jazzed up on the internet trying to, you know, earn captain's votes and, right. and talk himself up. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he is a PUP candidate or not. He's on the roster if he's not, and that's your five, in my opinion. Did I leave anybody off? So let's just say he's healthy.
All right, so you say if he's healthy, it's Kendrick Bourne, KJ Osborne, Pop Douglas, Jalen Polk, Javon Baker.
Yeah.
So that leaves
Tyquan Thornton.
Jalen Reagor would then have to qualify from a special teams capacity, which is up for grabs, which is a possibility. Yep. Kayshon Boutte, who's turned heads for the right reasons in this particular camp, not at the end of last year when he was the parlay kid, and Juju Smith-Schuster. Interesting. Yeah.
That's why I say it's competitive, because I think some people will be surprised if Tyquan Thornton or Juju gets cut or one of those guys.
Was Boutte actually arrested? Was he charged?
I think he was charged with something. I forget exactly.
Because we can find out. If only I had a supercomputer. The arrest of Kayshon Boutte and growing. Yes, he was arrested.
Damn.
Yes, that happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Arrested on a felony charge of computer fraud and one misdemeanor count of gambling prohibited for persons of. Come on, Boston Herald. Felony charge of computer fraud and one misdemeanor count of gambling prohibited for persons under 21, Louisiana State Police announced back in January 2024.
Oh, just a felony? That's it?
That's all. Just a felony.
And
I'm surprised. Wouldn't the league, like, the league could swoop in and be like, hey, great camp. Maybe you'll actually work out. And people will say, yeah, we stole another one with a sixth rounder. But, you know, you don't get to play this year because the commissioner dropped the hammer. But he didn't gamble on pro games. This only happened to him in college. It's not like he's one of these guys who was betting on his own team while he was playing.
Right. But, yeah, I don't know how that'll play out. I think they'll let it play out legally first and then probably drop whatever hammer they're going to drop or adjudicate however they want to do it. I think Mayo has just flat out said we're going to let it play itself out in regards to Booty when
he's got enough to worry about.
Yeah. But I think he's a long shot either way. I mean, I think with this roster, I think he's a little bit of a long shot. I know people got all excited when they draw. Oh, he had 300 yards as a freshman. Oh my God, in one game. He was a long shot. Like, his career was not great at LSU. He petered out.
Well, there was the ankle injury. There was the disagreement with the coaching staff. He had some really good games. There were all the excuses. Well, whatever the case. I'm presenting the factuals. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, they're called excuses.
Ah,
we make plays, not excuses. And he didn't make enough plays. And now they have other guys that can make plays named Polk and Baker. And those guys. So, yeah, I'm sorry. Opportunity lost.
Now, the other day when you were filling in for Captain Kidney Stones, we had a Six Rings and Football Things podcast.
And here, for years, I've always said Fourier has no stones.
I was wrong.
He's got stones.
He's got stones, all right. Wrong kind.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have many more, though. He's passed. They have since passed.
Did he factually pass them?
He would not be on the radio tomorrow if they were not dissolved or passed or both.
Oh, I thought he was just going to drug himself up.
I don't think so.
Concoction of morphine and Toradol.
And tequila.
And maybe some tequila to mix in the extra.
Andrew Callahan from the Herald, who had that great piece yesterday about going fishing with David Andrews, the nice little profile piece that he did. I highly recommend everybody give that a read if they haven't yet. Really, really, really great piece. And also, must be fun in a fishing boat at 6 in the morning, crushing beers and doing McGillicuddy shots with a member of the Patriots offensive line, especially somebody as cool as Bear Andrews. But Callahan told me that on this particular Patriots team, one thing he is certain of is that if it's going to come down to a veteran who could be on the last leg of his last legs, if you will, or a young guy with upside, even if he's not proven, they're going to go with the upside because they see this as a long game. This is a long play here. So if it's going to, let's say it comes down to Tyquan Thornton or Kayshon Boutte versus Juju Smith-Schuster, I think they're going to go with the young guy.
Yeah, and that's why I just think unless there's a bunch of injuries or like the young guys just aren't ready I think it's a long shot for Juju Smith-Schuster to be on the roster. Maybe you can trade him. Maybe you can get a couple preseason games out
the
of him.
What the hell are you going to get in a deal for Juju Smith-Schuster?
Something.
Who's going to give you something for him?
I don't know. Bag of balls?
What do you want with that bag of balls? You got plenty of balls of your own.
I do, but they might need more.
I don't think that they need more balls. And they certainly don't need the kind that they would get for Juju Smith-Schuster. All right. I asked you the one adjective to describe the room now, and you said competitive. Give me an adjective that you believe will describe the Patriots wide receiver room at the end of the season.
Unimpressive.
I know. I'll give you mine. Productive. I think this is going to ultimately be a productive.
What's productive?
Better than last year. But better than last year is too many words, so I just went with productive.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see some things out of Polk. I think you're going to see some things out of Baker. I think, like you said, K.J. Osborne might actually look to be more than just the number three receiver that he was in Minnesota. And, yeah, you could see 75, 80 catches out of your boy Pop Douglas.
They'll be better than last year. But, again, are they going to get up to NFL standard? Are they going to have – I mean, they still could end up being one of the – lower end wide receiver rooms in the NFL, correct?
They can't be worse than they were last year. So you could go with improving, perhaps. Improved.
Okay. I'll just stick with competitive.
Just going to say competitive to start?
Because I don't think they're going to you know, DeMario Douglas will be the closest thing they have to a number one option in terms of production and consistency, but I don't think anybody's necessarily going to fear DeMario Douglas. I think you'll just get your five catches for 45 yards or whatever it is, and everybody will be like, yeah, that's fine. You caught the ball. You do that regularly, but it's not leading to big plays and winning and scoring. I think they're just going to be painfully obvious that they don't have a number one receiver, and that's why, Patriots fans, you should hope that they have a relatively bad record so they can take a number one receiver early in the draft or a tackle.
All right. And final question here in our Patriots positional preview as part of the Six Rings Power Hour on the Rich Keefe Show. Between Jalen Polk, and I was taken in the second round, 37th overall, and Javon Baker, taken 110th overall, who do you think has the more impressive rookie season?
Split decision, because I think
going Polk, to the card on this one, huh?
Yeah, I think Polk will have more catches and more playing time, and I think Baker will have more memorable plays. You're going to remember a couple one-offs like, oh, my God, that play. Remember when he did that thing, whatever, highlight reel type plays?
Five catches, 132 yards and two touchdowns against Buffalo, but then he gets held catchless the next week.
Yeah, but I think Polk will be around more often than not for a couple catches, a couple possession type plays, a first down here, first down there. So I think Polk will be the more consistently contributing player. And Baker will say, you know, if he can put that together more consistently, he's going to be a stud kind of guy.
If they could only, exactly. And Polk did make the catch that capped off minicamp last week, which propelled us into Brady night as well. You've seen a lot of you've seen at OTAs and minicamp many of the reasons why the Patriots chose, and obviously in deficit of talent at the receiver position. Have you seen enough yet to validate why they went and chose him 37th overall?
I think he is in a weird world. He's a second round talent. Truly.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, I feel like in recent years, there's been a number of receivers lower that are obviously better than their draft spot. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's a second round talent. He's not going to wow you. He's not like an elite talent playmaker guy, but I think people have these visions of every second round receiver is elite, is a Pro Bowler, because so many of them in the last few years have turned out second, third round to be really good players. And like Puka Nacua, like he broke every freaking rookie receiving record last year. So he should have been a first round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Like he shouldn't be a fifth round pick. I think Polk is a true second round pick. I think his ceiling is second round pick. I think his floor is second round pick. I think he's a good solid player.
Nothing wrong with that. And I know many people said that Javon Baker was being comped to, or so I had read, that he could be the next Puka Nacua. I doubt he's going to even come close to the stats he put up last year. It's just more to the point of, here's a dynamic talent that could slip to the middle or late rounds that people may one day soon say, how the hell did we let Javon Baker go 110 to the Patriots? He could very well look like a third, a second, or even a late first round talent. If given the time, obviously the reps, a quarterback, and the line. You know, just a couple of those things that you need to make for a productive offense.
That's
just those things.
Okay, perfect.
All right, so competitive is your choice. I say improved or improving. Productive, if not maybe to describe them. We gave our pick for the six wide receivers as well. What do you guys say? 617-779-7937. You want to weigh in on the wide receiver room? You can always listen to the Six Rings and Football Things podcast, where every week we break out more new fun things to talk about related to the New England Patriots. We have a What If Wednesday, a brand new speculative podcast each and every week. Mike Dussault from Patriots.com. Nice enough to join us for yesterday's What If Wednesday. What if Bill Belichick were still coaching the Patriots this year? How would things look that way? That was a fun little chat we had yesterday, Andy, while you were on the radio. Why are you booing?
I don't know. It was time.
honest to God. You really just can't please all the people or any of the people. None of the people any of the time. All right, when we come back, we'll talk about something. And then at 9 o'clock, the Stiz Quiz, 920 Grab Bag. Oh, good times here on the Rich Keefe Show with Fitzy and Hart. Don't go anywhere.
You can watch the show anytime via our live stream on Twitch. Just go to twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. And check out WEEI on YouTube for our video on demand content updated daily. Now, more of the Rich Keefe Show on WEEI.
It has been a long time since we have gotten Bush on this radio station.
Love this song.
Breathe in, breathe out. Oh, Gavin Rossdale. I remember how much. Yep, that's exactly what I said. You heard it, Hart.
I remember when he walked into WAAF and I was like, I get it. I get it.
Oh, handsome as can be.
Handsome AF.
Whatever happened between he and Gwen Stefani?
I don't know, but she made a funky candle.
No, that was Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, you're right. That's my apologies.
Did Gwen Stefani? No, I think if
Gwen Stefani ended up with Blake Shelton.
She did. Yes, and if she made a funky candle, it would smell like B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Well done, sir.
Thank you. See what I did there?
That was hella bad.
Wow.
Ooh, hella. Look at Andy.
Look at Andy.
Someone
has
a teenage son. So,
exactly. Or the teenage daughter. Who would Gwen Stefani be more popular with in the Hart household?
Probably daughter, but I don't think really either.
Keep on dancing.
Yeah. I'm not sure she's really resonating right now.
No, well, she hasn't resonated in a while. What was her last song? Harajuku Girls?
Well, she had a duet with Blake Shelton. That was probably her last most popular song on a country side of things.
Well, it's probably somewhere. Yeah.
She had her moment, though.
Hey, listen,
it may have passed.
She ain't no hollerback girl.
That's right. Well done again.
See, I know a couple things. I drink more. And I know things. Hey, look at this. Hey, we got some phone calls on the Patriots wide receiver corps. Seeing you.
Let's go.
You were saying nobody was listening to the program. What are you
I
talking
didn't say
about?
That out loud.
Everyone is outed. John is in Springfield. John, good evening.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can, sir. Good evening. How are you?
Okay, yes. I thought Bourne was underused in one game. He was only in for two plays. He caught a pass and threw it for 41 yards. And I was watching the Super Bowl with a bunch of people, including New York Giants fans.
Mm-hmm.
And when Brady overthrew Welker, we all stood up and said he overthrew him. We didn't think it was a very catchable pass at all. So we never blamed Welker. And we also thought that Edelman should have gotten the most valuable player, and Adam Vinatieri should have gotten the first Super Bowl most valuable player, because one kick that he kicked off, he ran along the sidelines. The guy tried to field the ball and ended up getting it, running out of bounds. Plus, he made the final field goal. So, our running back last year that we picked up from Dallas was our number one receiver, correct?
Ezekiel Elliott was, yes. Thank you for the call, John. Appreciate that. Yes, he was the leading receiver last year as well. We very much hope, even though he just got paid a lot of money, how far it goes in this particular state, which we'll talk about later during Grab Bag, we shall see. Let's hope Ramondre Stevenson is not the leading receiver this year. Andy, as we just previewed the wide receiver position on the New England Patriots for 2024, it would be a bad thing if the leading receiver on the Patriots this year were either Antonio Gibson, even though he's a converted receiver, or especially the handsomely rewarded Ramondre Stevenson.
I don't rule it out. I do not rule it out by any measure. I think there is a chance it could be Ramondre Stevenson or Antonio Gibson. I think you could have a bunch of guys catch like 30 or 40 balls this year. I know I have my DeMario Douglas preview. Mm-hmm. Maybe he could like blow up and catch 80-something balls, 90 balls, whatever.
Got to stay healthy. Got to keep that dome clean.
So there was a year in the 90s where Bledsoe had like five receivers with over 45 catches or something.
Probably.
Like 94?
94, I was going to say.
Somewhere in there. It wouldn't stun me if this was another one of those type of years. By the way, we also have run-on callers. Not a run-on callers, but
yes.
Run-on callers. Who are like, yeah, and then in Super Bowl 36, there was the Vinatieri thing. Oh, and I also,
I've been waiting. You know what you can do? You can call every day, and you can share one thought per call for like 20, 30 seconds, which is perfect. Tee up the host to, you know, bat it around. Thanks, I'll hang up and listen, or I'll take your call offline. As opposed to, hey, I've been meaning to start a sports podcast, and what I'm going to do is just go 3.5, 4, 5 minutes right here. Like, don't make me feel bad. I enjoy a good back and forth, a nice, robust, hearty bargument, a sports chat. What I don't like doing is at the minute and 30 mark starting to sweat because I've already let you on too long, and then 2 minutes having to interrupt you, and then hang up and have to listen to Andy chastise you for talking too much.
I don't chastise people.
Yeah, you do.
The truth is never mean.
Exactly. Mm. I just tell the truth.
Okay. Well, isn't that, couldn't chastising be a part of the equation?
No, I just state the obvious facts of the situation at hand.
All right, fair enough. Okay, so you say. By the way, also it occurred to me after we did our little
preview. Hates Tom Brady?
Yeah, he's not a fan. I remember, didn't Billy O'Brien say that was not a drop by Welker?
I don't recall that.
I think he did, actually. I think he said that wasn't in the post game of Super Bowl 46, he said that wasn't a drop.
Maybe. And it was not a great throw. There was shared blame to go around, yes. But you people tend to only blame
mutual
one person.
Disconnect because of the golden one. I know.
You people
I know
how tend to only blame the greatest slot receiver in the history of the NFL.
Oh, for goodness sakes. I did say, I did text you that I sort of overlooked one potential adjective to describe the Patriots wide receiver room in 2024. Mm. Upgraded.
Mm. Disappointing. What?
I know, Nick, you're like, well, it can't be worse than last year. Why can't it?
Listen to this one over here. This one says disappointing. I say upgraded. I say it's full of potential. It could be potentially dynamic.
Could be potentially bad.
Yeah.
You think it's going to be bad too, Stanley?
I mean,
no, it could be.
It could be, yeah. I mean, I saw it floating around, I think maybe Andy today, Gresh earlier, talking about zero wins on the table. Yeah, it's absolutely on the table.
Look at all of you. All of you have just turned on all of us.
Well, I do also
need
to point
out in my luxury box this year.
I watched those wide receivers perform against air. Mm-hmm. When I say against air, it means there was no defense. There were nobody else on the field, just wide receivers running routes and quarterbacks mm-hmm. throwing to them. Mm-hmm. And many of those passes were incomplete.
Now, is that the result or responsibility of the receivers?
Both.
Or the quarterbacks?
Both. Oh.
Once again, shared blame.
Yeah, shared blame. Both. They both played
ungood at the time that they needed to be better.
But, That plays a role into the receivers not looking good and having production. Objectivity, at least acknowledging the possibility that they might not be great at receiver.
In which case, my word would be hopeful, because then, like Andy mentioned earlier, we get another top draft pick, and then, you know, maybe a couple years from now we are back in contention.
And I thought I knew either of you. For shame, people. For shame. 617-779-7937 is the number. That is Stanley Bruno, a.k.a. the legend of Stiz Grimy. And every Thursday night at 9 o'clock, he chimes in with one of everyone's favorite segments here on the show, where we test your knowledge, or more importantly, test Stanley's ability to maintain a segment all on his big, broad shoulders. It's the Stiz Quiz coming up. Test your knowledge with us here on the Rich Keefe Show with Fitzy and Hart and EEI. Don't go anywhere.
You can watch the show anytime via our live stream on Twitch. Just go to twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and check out WEEI on YouTube for our video on demand content updated daily. Now, more of the Rich Keefe Show on WEEI.
It has been a long time since since we have gotten Bush on this radio station.
Love this song.
Breathe in, breathe out. Oh, Gavin Rossdale. I remember how much. Yep, that's exactly what I said. You heard it, Hart.
I remember when he walked into WAAF and I was like, I get it. I get it.
Oh, handsome as can be.
Handsome AF.
Whatever happened between he and Gwen Stefani?
I don't know, but she made a funky candle.
No, that was Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, you're right. That's my apologies.
Did Gwen Stefani? No, I think if
Gwen Stefani ended up with Blake Shelton.
She did. Yes, and if she made a funky candle, it would smell like B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Well done, sir.
Thank
well
you.
Done.
See what I did there?
That was hella bad.
Wow.
Ooh, hella. Look at Andy.
Look at Andy.
Someone
has
a teenage son. So,
exactly. Or the teenage daughter. Who would Gwen Stefani be more popular with in the Hart household?
Probably daughter, but I don't think really either.
Keep on dancing.
Yeah. I'm not sure she's really resonating right now.
No, well, she hasn't resonated in a while. What was her last song? Harajuku Girls?
Well, she had a duet with Blake Shelton. That was probably her last most popular song on a country side of things.
Well, it's probably somewhere. Yeah.
She had her moment, though.
She, listen,
it may have passed.
She ain't no hollerback girl.
That's right. Well done again.
See, I know a couple things. I drink more and I know things. Hey, look at this. Hey, we got some phone calls on the Patriots wide receiver corps. Seeing you.
Let's go.
You were saying nobody was listening to the program. What are you
I
talking
didn't say
about?
That out loud.
Everyone is outed. John is in Springfield. John, good evening.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can, sir. Good evening. How are you?
Okay, yes. I thought Bourne was underused in one game. He was only in for two plays. He caught a pass and threw it for 41 yards. And I was watching the Super Bowl with a bunch of people, including New York Giants fans.
Mm-hmm.
And when Brady overthrew Welker, we all stood up and said he overthrew him. We didn't think it was a very catchable pass at all. So we never blamed Welker. And we also thought that Edelman should have gotten the most valuable player, and Adam Vinatieri should have gotten the first Super Bowl most valuable player, because one kick that he kicked off, he ran along the sidelines. The guy tried to field the ball and ended up getting it, running out of bounds. Plus, he made the final field goal. So, our running back last year that we picked up from Dallas was our number one receiver, correct?
Ezekiel Elliott was, yes. Thank you for the call, John. Appreciate that. Yes, he was the leading receiver last year as well. We very much hope, even though he just got paid a lot of money, how far it goes in this particular state, which we'll talk about later during Grab Bag, we shall see. Let's hope Ramondre Stevenson is not the leading receiver this year. Andy, as we just previewed the wide receiver position on the New England Patriots for 2024, it would be a bad thing if the leading receiver on the Patriots this year were either Antonio Gibson, even though he's a converted receiver, or especially the handsomely rewarded Ramondre Stevenson.
I don't rule it out. I do not rule it out by any measure. I think there is a chance it could be Ramondre Stevenson or Antonio Gibson. I think you could have a bunch of guys catch like 30 or 40 balls this year. I know I have my DeMario Douglas preview.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he could like blow up and catch 80-something balls, 90 balls, whatever.
Got to stay healthy. Got to keep that dome clean.
So there was a year in the 90s where Bledsoe had like five receivers with over 45 catches or something.
Probably.
Like 94?
94, I was going to say.
Somewhere in there. It wouldn't stun me if this was another one of those type of years. By the way, we also have run-on callers. Not a run-on callers, but
yes,
run-on callers. Who are like, yeah, and then in Super Bowl 36, there was the Vinatieri thing.
Oh, I've been waiting. You know what you can do? You can call every day, and you can share one thought per call for like 20, 30 seconds, which is perfect. Tee up the host to, bat it around. Thanks, I'll hang up and listen, or I'll take your call offline. As opposed to, hey, I've been meaning to start a sports podcast, and what I'm going to do is just go 3.5, 4, 5 minutes right here. Like, don't make me feel bad. I enjoy a good back and forth, a nice, robust, hearty argument, a sports chat. What I don't like doing is at the minute and 30 mark starting to sweat because I've already let you on too long, and then 2 minutes having to interrupt you, and then hang up and have to listen to Andy chastise you for talking too much.
I don't chastise people.
Yeah, you do.
The truth is never mean.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just tell the truth.
Okay. Well, isn't that, couldn't chastising be a part of the equation?
No, I just state the obvious facts of the situation at hand.
All right. Fair enough. Okay. So you say, by the way, also it occurred to me after we did our little
preview. Hates Tom Brady?
Yeah, he's not a fan. I remember, didn't Billy O'Brien say that was not a drop by Welker?
I don't recall that.
I think he did, actually. I think he said that wasn't in the post game of Super Bowl 46, he said that wasn't a drop.
Maybe. And it was not a great throw. There was shared blame to go around, yes. But you people tend to only blame
mutual one person. Disconnect because of the golden one. I know.
You people
I know
how tend to only blame the greatest slot receiver in the history of the NFL.
Oh, for goodness sakes. I did say, I did text you that I sort of overlooked one potential adjective to describe the Patriots wide receiver room in 2024. Mm. Upgraded.
Mm. Disappointing. What?
I know, Nick, you're like, well, it can't be worse than last year. Why can't it?
Listen to this one over here. Stairs. This one says disappointing. I say upgraded. I say it's full of potential. It could be potentially dynamic.
Could be potentially bad.
Yeah.
You think it's going to be bad too, Stanley?
I mean,
no, it could be.
It could be, yeah. I mean, I saw it floating around, I think maybe Andy today, Gresh earlier, talking about zero wins on the table. Yeah, it's absolutely on the table.
Look at all of you. All of you have just turned on all of us.
Well, I do also
need
to point
out in my luxury box this year.
I watched those wide receivers perform against air. Mm-hmm. When I say against air, it means there was no defense. There were nobody else on the field, just wide receivers running routes and quarterbacks mm-hmm. throwing to them. Mm-hmm. And many of those passes were incomplete.
Now, is that the result or responsibility of the receivers?
Both.
Or the quarterbacks?
Both. Oh.
Once again, shared blame.
Yeah, shared blame. Both. They both played
ungood at the time that they needed to be better.
But, That plays a role into the receivers not looking good and having production. Objectivity, at least acknowledging the possibility that they might not be great at receiver.
In which case, my word would be hopeful, because then, like Andy mentioned earlier, we get another top draft pick, and then, you know, maybe a couple years from now we are back in contention.
And I thought I knew either of you. For shame, people. For shame. 617-779-7937 is the number. That is Stanley Bruno, a.k.a. the legend of Stiz Grimy. And every Thursday night at 9 o'clock, he chimes in with one of everyone's favorite segments here on the show, where we test your knowledge, or more importantly, test Stanley's ability to maintain a segment all on his big, broad shoulders. It's the Stiz Quiz coming up. Test your knowledge with us here on The Rich Keefe Show with Fitzy and Hardy EI. Don't go anywhere.